Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Singer-songwriter Gemma Hayes has joined me today in Studio 8, and she's accompanied by Sam Killeen and Naomi Coleman. Gemma, it's so good to hear you've a new album on the way. It's called Blind Faith. It'll be coming in September. We're going to chat in a moment about the album and West Cork and gigging and babies. But first, from the new album, this is Feed the Flames.
The hush of night will come. I'm waiting for it. Now I'm gonna gather up sticks and stones, go somewhere I don't know. I see you and know that you see me, but it's hard.
I really love that, Gemma. Come back over here. That's Feed the Flames from your new album. It's 10 years since your last album, Bones and Longing. Is the song that we've just heard typical of the tracks you've been writing and recording?
Absolutely. I tend to sing a lot quieter these days because a lot of the songs were written very late at night. You know, when sort of the house, everybody's asleep and finally I get time to myself and I go into my music room. And so I was writing these sort of sleepy songs, dreamy, ethereal, sort of a vibe to them. And I just really liked it. So I wanted to keep that as a theme throughout the album.
And actually, you've had two little children since the last time I spoke
yes.
to you. I think you took a break altogether from music when they were born. Why did you do that? How much did you miss it? And how did you get back into it?
Do you know, I had this very naive idea that I would have my baby, I'd, you know, throw them on my back in some sort of a baby carrier and I would head off on tour and it would all just be easy breezy, you know, even hire a camper van and do it like that. I was touring in Germany and I had a baby who was less than 1 year old. I was breastfeeding. I was exhausted. He was waking up in a different hotel room every night and it just wasn't working. Mm. And I remember being on stage and I couldn't remember lyrics, which is endearing if you do it once. But when you do it constantly, it's not endearing at all. And I just decided that I would give this little, you know, human the next sort of year or two. But then my little girl came along and it just started to leave me. Music started to leave. And then it got to the point where I was a bit scared to step forward again. I didn't know if I could. I think I'd put all my confidence and my courage and everything went into the children, focused on them. That day when I sort of went, oh, can I even play music anymore? Does anybody want to listen? Who am I actually? I had to sort of rediscover myself, so to speak.
I thought it was really interesting as well. You did a great interview with Nadine O'Regan and you said to her that when you were at home minding your children all the time, you almost felt that you'd sacrificed your complete self because you weren't doing music either at the time.
Yeah. It just, I was a bit overwhelmed. You know, I was never diagnosed with sort of postnatal depression or anything like that. It's just the situation and the circumstances that I found myself in was that I was, you know, in the house with two small kids. And I remember, you know, I eventually went and had like my first therapy session. And I remember walking in and just being like, can you see me? That's what I said to him. I said, am I here? Because I feel like I've become invisible and I'm giving so much, you know. I never put boundaries as to like, no, this is me time. This is for me. I never did that. So I had to learn to make sure that I, you know, had time for myself, even if that meant that I actually went to a hotel for a night to sleep. And just to think about. And what I found was when I did start to play little bits of songs, it was sort of, it brought me back to myself. Mm. I just started to feel, because it is quite therapeutic to sing and to create. It does so many wonderful things with your head and your heart and your sense of well-being. So once I started playing music, I could just feel myself come back. Which was wonderful.
And lovely for your children to hear you do that too.
Yes.
Isn't it? It's a lovely experience for them.
It's wonderful. Actually, having said that, I had to play my kids' primary school the other day before the summer holidays. I tell you, it was the hardest gig because, you know, I put too much into it. I thought, and I was like, I want them to be proud of me. I don't want to shame. I don't want them to be embarrassed by me. So I was thinking all of this and I gave it everything. And then afterwards I said, so what did you think of Mommy's performance? And they were like, yeah, and it was really good. Your hair looked weird though.
I love
and
kids.
I'm like, of course. You know, you're not having deep, profound thoughts. You're just thinking, yeah, your hair looked a bit messy.
When you finally did go back to music, did you find you'd lost confidence, that you had to work on that? Because in the past you've spoken about anxiety, of course. Mm,
yeah. No, all of the above, I think. You know, any time in your life where you feel vulnerable, any of those little weaknesses that you might have, they rear their head, you know. So my tendency to maybe get a bit anxious and overthink and overanalyze, that gets amplified. I had to kind of struggle through all of that, which, you know, is just being human as well. I mean, it's nothing bizarre. It's just coming out of one chapter of your life, entering another chapter. Transition is always hard because you have to step up. And but it was brilliant because it involved courage, you know, just talking myself into going, stand up, walk forward, and you can do this. And then I realized, you know, I wasn't falling. And the world didn't crumble. And I sort of built myself back up that way.
I love the line of advice, which I read. You said someone gave to you about thinking of yourself as about 7 foot tall in your head.
That's right.
Tell us about it, because it might be useful to someone listening.
Absolutely.
This morning.
Yes. I got a lot of good little tips from this lady, Sybil, that I'd speak to. And she kind of helps me with anxiety and all of that. Two things. Number one was the volume knob, right? So just if you suffer from panic attacks or anxiety, if you try to push it away and deny it's there, it grows bigger. So what you do is you accept that you're feeling anxious and you picture a volume knob that is your anxiety and you just turn it down. You just turn it down to, you know, about 3. Mm. So you accept it's there. And then the other one was, if you're going into a situation where you might feel small or intimidated, or, you know, like when I was stepping out on stage for the first time, she said, just close your eyes and picture yourself 7 foot tall, powerful and radiating good things, good vibes. Now walk out. And it does. I mean, yeah. I think we don't use our mind enough. We can really help ourselves with visualizations and things like that. So they help me. Hopefully they'll help somebody.
I loved
somebody
them, actually. Now, you're living in West Cork in beautiful Baltimore, and you had been living, I think, in London during COVID.
Yeah.
Was it lovely to come back to somewhere as beautiful as West Cork from London?
Do you know, it wasn't planned. And so we were living in London, and then when they were going to lock down London, we decided to get out of Dodge. And we stayed in my husband's parents' holiday home. And we said, can we stay here for a few weeks while this funny viruses around? And they said, sure. God help them, we're still in the house. They probably want to kick us out, but they don't have the heart, you know. We didn't plan. And then it was just beautiful. And when we were in London, we were in a small flat. There was no music room. I had all my guitars packed away in storage. So when we came to this house, they had a music room with a grand piano. So I was like, oh, here, you know, the world is shut down. And I'm just here with a grand piano and a massive back garden, which we didn't have at all. So in a way, it was a silver lining in what was a very horrible time.
You, of course, are the youngest of 8 from Ballyporeen in County Tipperary. So you were probably never going to spend your life long term in London, were you? You've such a big draw, family home.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's one of those things. I have some sisters and brothers that they flew the coop straight away. You know, and it's a personality thing as well. I was very close to my mother all my life and I like home. Mm-hmm. and the countryside I find is very inspiring. Not that I write about the countryside, but the space and the sounds it sort of awakens a creativity in me to then write about stuff.
Your husband's always been really supportive, hasn't he? He even puts sessions on, I think, in the church nearby on Sundays, doesn't he?
He does. He started his own little music venue in the local church. And he doesn't do anything by halves. You know, he tends to go in head first. So at the start, I was like, what are you doing? you know, you're inviting all these musicians down here. You've never put on a show. And of course, he's made a massive success out of it. So it's wonderful because Baltimore's tiny, but all these amazing musicians are coming down and playing in our small little church. And of course, I get to meet with them and jam with some of them. And we've had Nina Parsons from the Cardigans.
Right.
She came down, and Paul Noonan is down this year, this summer, and Patty Casey. And yeah, it's fab.
And of course, you mentioned Paul Noonan there, and you've a really lovely collaboration going on with him and the fabulous Lisa Hannigan. He, of course, of Bell X One. What a trio of voices. Tell me about the three of you working together.
Do you know, we had originally got together for one show, which was a charity gig. And it was a case of, it's sort of a round robin style. So we just sit on the stage in a sort of horseshoe shape and we just play a song and the others jam, sing, do harmonies. And it was so wonderful. It was so easy. And it was just simple setup, which is just heavenly for a musician. So we decided just to keep going. And people are coming out, you know, the rooms are packed. And it's that's been a real gift to be around those two.
Well, Gemma, you're going to sing for us again now. Thanks so much for coming here this morning. Thanks also to Sam Killeen and Naomi Coleman. You've gigs coming up, of course, in the INEC in Killarney on the 13th of September. Then you're over to Liverpool, Bristol, Leeds, back to London, and then Balbriggan with Lisa and Paul in October. And you're also in Belfast on the 9th of December. All details are on GemmaHayes.com. Thanks so much, Gemma. This is To Be Your Honey.
Thank you.
Your love is like a tourniquet. It's wrapped so tightly round my chest. Don't leave. And
I'll bring you one in Gemma too. Hi Miriam, I saw Gemma in Westport last October in Holy Trinity Church, and she and her band, they were amazing. One of the best concerts I've ever been to. Since then, I've played her CDs non-stop in my bookshop in Westport, and that's from Neil.